Welcome to Bible Basics with me, Deanna. During these mini Bible tutoring sessions, I'm going to be teaching you the basics of the Bible that have dramatically changed my relationship with God's Word. Let me tell you, these are going to feel a little different, so you may want to grab a notebook and a pen, or even save this episode. Our hope is that you will grab some nuggets that, just like me, will guide you in your own relationship with the Word of God. It's lesson three of Overview of the Bible. And I don't know about you, but Old Testament? Yeah, remember I told you, 1,500 to 2,000 years. It takes a little while to figure out and teach and explain the basics of that story. I promise you, the New Testament is not near that detail. But let me start with this, Colossians 3:16. And this is where Paul wrote to the group of believers at Colossae. And he said this, "Let the word of Christ," which is the scriptures, "dwell in you." Not just dwell in you, but dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. You know, I want the word of Christ, the word of God, to dwell in each of you. But it's going to be a whole lot easier to dwell in each of you if you really understand the chronological story about it. It's going to be easier to teach and admonish one another if you really understand the order of the story of Scripture. And so let's do that. Let's move right in. If you're like, oh my goodness, I missed the first two. You know what to do with podcasts. Just go back and listen to podcast lesson one, lesson two, an overview of the Bible. Here we go. Okay, the New Testament. Okay, this timeline's a little different, but once again, we have linked to the actual thing that you can print out, and Creative Bible Study is very generous with you making copies of those. Okay, so I want to start with what we did with the Old Testament as well. We went to the main guts of the story. And so at the very beginning of our New Testament timeline in chronological order, I want you to picture the first box says the life of Jesus. And under that, we have the names Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, each four of these men wrote about the life of Jesus. They wrote about the same time period. But obviously, we have four different personalities, and four people looking at one scene are going to describe it a little differently. And so Matthew gives a little different perspective than Mark, and Mark gives a little different perspective than Luke, and then John comes in, and John really gives a different perspective. And so I'd love to go into all that right now, but I can't. Okay, so just know this, that the beginning of the timeline, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, is all referring to the same time period, the life of Jesus. And you're like, hey, Deanna, like, how did we like stop at the family in Nehemiah and now Jesus is here? Oh, we'll get to that a little bit later. Okay, so we have the life of Jesus. And then if you can picture the next box in that timeline is the history of the church. Okay, now the history of the church being developed per Jesus's last commands takes place in the book of Acts. Acts is a historical book, and it gives us all the details of how they went from just a bunch of believers when Jesus was here on this earth to little local bodies of believers all over. Okay, so when you go into Acts 1, 13, 16, 18, 21, 28, we're going to read about lots of different guys that we heard of. We've heard of Paul and Peter and John, and we're going to see how the rest of the New Testament fits into the book of Acts. Okay, so once again, I'm just going to have to tell you, this blew me away. This blew me away. And it's made all the difference in the world now when I read the book of Acts or I read one of the letters. Okay, so you got a picture with me here, or look at your handout that we gave you. Okay, so I'm going to go under History of the Church. Under that, it has Acts, and it has certain chapters listed. So it has Acts 1, and then it has Acts 13. So when I'm reading the history of the church in Acts chapter 13, this is where we see and we hear a lot about Paul. And what Paul's going to do is he's going to take mission trips. And most all of Acts is going to be the journaling, basically, the telling of these mission trips. So on Paul's first mission trip, and I will say that these two letters, it is not disputed, but some people are a little different on the dates of these. I'm going to go ahead with what I believe the timeline does. But around Acts 13, 14, 15, Paul is on his first mission trip. But what happens is when he goes from place to place, he gets messages from other people. So he gets a message in one place and they're like, Paul, the people back in Galatia, the place, who are now the Galatians, the believers, oh, people are coming in. They're telling them some untruths about scripture and God and Jesus' salvation. And so what Paul does is, while he's at another place, he will write a letter to the Galatians. And in that letter, he will teach them doctrine and truth that will explain to them, no, this is what you believe, and now this is how you live. So around Acts 13, 14, 15-ish, what you would do is pull out the letter to the Galatians and insert it into Acts. Now, James, pretty popular guy in the New Testament, he was doing the same thing, because the real church, as we talk about individual groups of believers, the church at Jerusalem was really growing and being established at this time. And James, the brother of Jesus, ends up being the pastor of this church in Jerusalem. And so what he did was he wrote a letter to a lot of the believers that, because persecution was coming, they had to like all just disperse into other areas of, you know, around them. And I won't get into map stuff right now. So as some of his people from his church, his believers that he discipled, they were leaving him, James writes a letter to them. And that's where we get the letter to James. It was written about the same time as Galatians during Paul's mission trip. So now we're going to move on this timeline to what we call the second mission trip. And so this takes place somewhere between chapters 13 and 18 of Acts. You'll read about Paul's mission trip, but during this time, Paul writes two letters to the Thessalonians. And so what you could do is you could tear out First and Second, there you go, Deanna, First and Second Thessalonians, and you could put them right in somewhere between like around Acts 15, 16. Now, I am not telling you about all the things that are happening in Acts at this time. That's not the purpose of what I'm doing right now. I don't want to get so detail driven that you lose the picture and the basic storyline of how this works. So as I go on to Paul's third missionary trip, somewhere between Acts 18 and 21, he gets word about things happening in Corinth, in Rome. And what he does there is he writes two letters. Actually, there's supposedly like four letters, but okay, we'll go back. He writes 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and he sends that to the church at Corinth. And then he writes the letter to the Romans, the church at Rome. Now, I will say that this could be where some people think Galatians was written according to the timeline. But like I said, I go with the first of Galatians being written during his first mission trip. Okay, so here we are. We're trucking through Acts. And we are now Acts 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, and somewhere around here, we have where Paul is put into prison. There is some, you know, just ideas here that he took a fourth mission trip. But while he was in prison, he writes letters to the church of Ephesus, to the church of Colossae, to the church of Philippi, and he also writes an individual letter about a guy named Philemon. And you're like, oh. So when I'm reading around maybe Acts 25, 26, 27, I can tear out Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, Philemon, and put it in there as the chronological story of Scripture. And so when I realized that, and I was reading through chronologically for the first time, and I'm reading in Acts, and I stop, and I go to Galatians, and then I come back to Acts, and then I read James, and then I come back to Acts, and I read Thessalonians, I'm like, oh my goodness, this makes perfect sense now. Okay, so after Acts 28, okay, we have on this timeline, it's called Paul's freedom. It's his second time in prison in Rome. And then we have what we call the church expanding. And during these times is where some other letters are written. And we have the information about his freedom, his second time in prison, and the church expanding in some of these letters. And that's where we're given this information. So during Paul's freedom, after his first imprisonment, he writes a letter to Timothy. He writes a letter to Titus. And he writes two letters to Peter. Nope. During Paul's freedom time, he writes his first letter to Timothy. He writes his letter to Titus. But Peter gets in on the action, and Peter starts writing letters. He writes two letters, and these letters are just general letters to believers. Well, Paul's freedom ends. And he now heads back into prison at Rome again. And this is where he writes the second letter to Timothy. And this time, during Paul's second time in prison, the book of Hebrews is written. And I'll just be honest, all growing up, I pretty much heard and was taught that Hebrews was probably written by Paul. Now some scholars are like, we're not really sure who wrote it. So what I'm going to say is, I'm not going to say who the author of Hebrews is, but it's a really good book. And it was written during the time of Paul's second imprisonment. And then this is where the guy Jude, who is another one of Jesus's biological half-brothers, he wrote a letter to believers. And then it comes down to where now the church is really expanding. We're having believers all over the place. And we go back to John, who wrote Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and he's in a cave-like prison on the Isle of Patmos, and he's writing 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and then he writes the amazing book of Revelation. And that is where our story ends in Scripture. And that is how you look at the chronological order of the New Testament. Now, I'm going to just allude to this because in between Malachi, which is in your paper Bible, and the book of Matthew, which starts basically the genealogy of Jesus Christ, we have a time period called the intertestamental period. I know, it's big words, inter, in between, testamental, the testaments, Old Testament, New Testament, in between the Old Testament and New Testament. And we don't have a lot of information on this time period in Scripture, but we do have historical books that were written that did not make it into the actual, what we call the canon of Scripture, the books that made it into what we call the Bible. But we do have a lot of books out there that are trustworthy that give us some information of what took place between the end of the story of this family and the beginning where Jesus comes on the scene. the intertestamental period. We do know that it covers about 400 years. So when I was first learning this, I took my paper Bible and I just wrote on that little sheet that was in between Malachi and Matthew. I wrote up there, intertestamental period, 400 years. And when I started learning some of the things that took place during that time, I would write them down. And this is just how it worked for me. But I'm going to tell you this. When I started learning about what happened in those 400 years between that family in the Old Testament and Jesus coming on the scene, oh my goodness, ladies, it made perfect sense. Because what happened in those 400 years, it became dark. And there was lots of people that were coming on the scene. And they were philosophers and they were smart people. And they were all these religious people. And they were doing all kinds of things to distort the truth of this family and this Messiah that would come. And as soon as all this stuff is kind of like, oh man, it's bad. Like, you think things are bad now. You go back to Rome during this time, it's bad. It's really bad. And I imagine that little family, as they've grown and grown and grown, and they were still taught the things of God all the way through, and they are hanging on for dear life to those guys that prophesied. Remember? Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. They are hanging on for dear life to the prophecies that these guys were saying. All along, while people are mocking them and changing it, and even that special family was beginning to think, this isn't true. This isn't true. Because during these 400 years, guess what? God gave no new messages. He gave no new messages. And so they were like, you think what God said was real? I mean, like, you know, he said there's a king coming and a Messiah coming and all of this. And you know, imagine the darkness, the sinfulness, the untruths that were being given at this time. And this special family was in a bad way. And so was the world. And then here comes Jesus. Jesus comes on the scene because one night on a mountain, some shepherds were like, hey, what is that light? And they go and they search and they find a young baby wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger with his mother Mary and his father Joseph. And they bowed and worship him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And all the darkness and all the confusion and all the untruth and all the wickedness, the light came into the world. And God gave us his Son, Jesus Christ. And that's what starts the New Testament. Ladies, I hope that as we each week build on the things that we've learned, and I will review some, I hope you start just really getting in your head the idea of this storyline of creation, then this family, and then Jesus Christ coming on the scene. Because once you get the whole idea of the story, things in Scripture become really real to you. And you start understanding, and God starts speaking to you. And you start understanding God's word. Join us next week as we go in a little deeper into the overview of the Bible.
Hey, Iron Women, thank you again for joining us today on the Iron Women podcast. We hope that you've enjoyed our Bible Basics with Deanna mini episode of the Iron Women. We'll see you next week.